In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we hear today about the parable of the wicked servant. This has always been a very curious parable, because it really seems like the Lord is complimenting this guy who is truly a jerk. Not only did he defraud his master, but then he led other people to do the same thing. Now, what's up with that? Well, there are certain things that we can learn from this. Of course, the Lord is telling us how to lie, defraud, and be wicked, right? Well, probably not. It must be something else going on here. And indeed, fathers of the church have explored these options, tried to figure out what's going on. Well, let's go through a few things that we can learn from this rich parable. Now, St. Augustine explains that what we have going on in this parable is an argument a minori ad maiorem, from a lesser thing to the greater thing. That is, if the wicked servant, the wicked steward, is commended in his cleverness about worldly matters, then how much more should the upright steward be commended? If the wicked one figures out how to maneuver well in the world, how much more should we be diligent in pursuing things cleverly, with decision, decisively, and so forth, so that we can obtain our reward in heaven? That's an argument from the lesser thing to the greater thing. If this is okay, if this is in a way to be appreciated, how much more than the upright life? That's what we should pursue. Earthly affairs require work, don't they? In all of your lives, you have things to attend to, and you have to attend to with a certain measure of planning and diligence and work and labor. Well, how much more should you apply yourself to those things which will bring you to the bliss of heaven? This is how Augustine approaches the work, the fraudulent work of the unjust steward. So the Lord praises the clever steward not for his fraud, but for his cleverness. And this is a metaphor for all of us. We should be at least as diligent, if not more, in pursuing those things which are above. Another thing that we learn from the parable is that a steward, and in many ways we are all stewards, everything that we have is given to us by God. It doesn't really belong to us. If we are stewards, then we are not the master. There's one master, and that's God. And we are going to have a reckoning with him one day. It's going to happen. One of these days, we will stop breathing, our hearts will beat their last, and we will die. Our souls will separate from our bodies, and we will go before the great judge, the just judge, the king of fearful majesty, the one who is truly the master, who in great mercy and love gave us everything that we have in life, and we're going to have to make a reckoning with him. This is going to happen. And so one of the things that this parable teaches us is to prepare well, diligently, for that day of reckoning. If every year, let's go back to the minori ad maiorem again, if you diligently prepare for a reckoning, say for example with the IRS every year, imagine the reckoning that we're going to have with God. So that's another thing that we learn from this parable. Now, a third thing can be gleaned from this, along with that, if then this, then all that one all the more, and we are not the masters, and we're going to have a reckoning. The plight of the steward also teaches us about the, shall we say, the pattern or the rhythm of sinning. It teaches us that one sin can lead to another. If we have been careless and we fall into a sin, in this case, the wicked steward has dissipated in a sinful way because he's been negligent and irresponsible, the property of his master, probably spending it on himself. That's the hidden message in here. He's been selfish, he's probably been venal, and so forth. The next thing that he has to do in order to deal with it is he has to lead other people into sinning and defrauding the master too. One sin leads to another. We think about the pattern of sin, about how venial sins, for example, not by definition not mortal, but nevertheless they can weaken us in our resolve, so that it becomes easier then to commit sins that are more grave later on. One sin can lead to another. There can be a pattern and a rhythm to sin into which we can fall, and it almost feels as if we are being dragged along inexorably toward that sin, which is a deception. We always retain free will, even in the face of bad habits and vices and so forth that we can form by our own neglect and our own irresponsible care for our souls. This is one of the reasons why an examination of conscience on a daily basis is so important. An examination of conscience that looks not only at the day, but also the overarching pattern of our whole lives, the trajectory of our life, our vocation. How am I living my vocation well in an arc of time? These things are very important, and we can gain these from this parable of our Lord. So we have an argument a minori ad maius. If the earthly and the fleshbound are good at earthly concerns, how much more should we, who have been given so great a gift, be diligent and decisive in getting to heaven? We learn that God is the master, and we had better be humble and do our best, because the time will come for a reckoning, and one sin can lead to another, and before long we can be in serious spiritual trouble. We have to deal with our faults immediately, which means we have to recognize them, and in order to recognize them, we have to have an examination of conscience, and then go to confession. There is no sin so great, so terrible, that we can commit that Almighty God will not forgive, provided that we ask for forgiveness. We have to ask for the forgiveness, humbly, on our knees, begging mercy. God's justice we are going to get, whether we want it or not, but His mercy is always there for the asking. And while we draw breath and our hearts are beating, mercy is always, always, always offered. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.